welcome to our corner where we talk about the Streets of Avalon role-playing game. I'm Chris.
And I'm Brett.
Last time we talked about the city within the city. This time we're going to talk about those places where evil lurks outside the lamplight within the city. Neighborhoods that have fallen to darkness and buildings that hold the most despicable of monsters, both human and non. Those dark places between the neighborhoods. Now, Brett, I imagine that the city is filled with these places, and it's kind of why you never need to go outside the city or down into Thorbrandor to have a dangerous exploration-styled kind of game. Some people call it urban exploration. Some call it suicide by stupid. but we call them, I don't think we call them anything. They're just bad places in the city. Do you have anything that you call them, Brett?
So I have often said places of interest or mysterious abodes, which sounds way more dramatic.
Mysterious abodes is pretty good, actually. I like that.
So what are we talking about here? There's guild houses, right? So there's a Thieves Guild, and there's the Wainwrights Guild, and this guild and that guild. They've got their guild homes, and people go. But there's always somewhere back and behind. When you go down that dark alley, you take it 3-4 turns. You can't remember which way is north anymore. You're like, well, shit, where am I? And there's a door that's slightly ajar and a weird greenish light and some chanting happening back there. Like, okay, this is probably...
That's not good.
Yeah, do I go in? Do I go out? It says my character sheet, I like this shit. Fine, I'm in, you know?
Sounds like a cult to me.
It does.
Operating right under the noses of maybe the Wainwright skill, just a couple of doors away.
Yeah, like we've talked about this before. When you think about like the Hell's Kitchen and Daredevil and that street level gritty version of superhero-dom,
which might as well be the scheme in a lot of ways.
Yes. So when you think about that, that means in those darker alleys, in those side buildings, that old building, that dilapidated manor house, on the bottom of that is where the basement's caved in. Unfortunately, it's caved in right into this nasty little pool of water, and there's a very small aboleth that lives in there.
Oh, man. That's pretty good.
In the original Avalon book we wrote, I had,
there's a neighborhood that's like that. Yeah, there absolutely is.
I also had the one in there about the tree and the giant rats chewing on the tree.
Yep, there's that one. The tree was not very happy about it because it was a sleeping ent, if I remember correctly.
Correct. Big angry thing. But when you have these spots where you can hide and stay out of the way, this is that classic, how could vampires live in Chicago? A lot of places in Chicago to hide, guys. You don't have to be in the boardroom. A lot of dark, nasty places to go.
If you listen to the last episode, there's a giant wall that has a whole neighborhood but next to it that the vampires can hang out in if they wanted to.
Absolutely. So in the current Avalon game I'm running, the guys were looking for some information. They found a ghoul hole in this alleyway. Like, okay, this isn't good. They block that up, figure this out. They follow the narrowest, twistiest, side-by-side, turn yourself just to squeeze through. Ooh. And at the end of it is, they're pretty sure it's a vampire. It is a vampire. And this guy is, he knows everything. I stole the name Dragon King of Arms from Terry Pratchett.
If you're going to steal from somewhere, it was a steal from somebody else.
Yeah, I'm going to steal from good, right? So it's a vampire, and he knows all of the families. He's got all his great history. He basically has a massive logbook, which is like a huge recipe book for him. restaurants buy, you know, type of thing. They haven't figured this out yet, but he's the main bad guy in the game. They just stumbled on him early. Anyway.
That's okay. No one's listening to this for months and months.
Good, 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 good.
If you didn't know, folks, we record these in batches way earlier than they get released.
So what happened, though, is they went all the way down. They're like, oh, my God, Dragon's down here. They talk to him, figure things out, get some clues. He's kind of mysterious, kind of helpful, kind of not. Like, okay, they fade away. Another section of neighborhood they go into, and there is an old, look like a garbage pit. In this garbage pit, they see a cockroach the size of a small child crawl out and grab a dead puppy and drag it back in. Like, oh, that can't be good.
That sounds terrible, actually.
Oh, God, what's down there? And then they go talked about it. They talk to their friend. They talk to each other, do some other stuff, come back, and now they're like, is that connected to the gigantic centipede we saw in the other one? Ah, crap. This stuff's in our neighborhood, man. And where is it? It's located about 30 yards from the orphanage. Just, you know.
It's so bad. That's so bad. I love it.
And placing these things in these dark little secluded sections near things that the players care about. Where are they based out of? They're based down on the docks, right? They've got this great place. They're in the docks and so on. And they find out that three little slum buildings over in a sub-basement that's since collapsed into an old chunk of a dried-out section of sewers is this thing. What's the thing? It is a bizarre lizard cat monster. I'll make that up, right? And it's woke up for whatever reason, and it's really hungry, and it's eating people now. Like, well, that's a problem.
That is a problem. I mean, that's your alligator in the sewer story, right? Love
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
I love
I've
it.
had we had one where the ghouls were burrowing, and I mentioned this, we talked about ghouls a little bit, I think, and they found one of my characters was a baker, and he was apprenticed to this other baker. So he would work the shitty shift so the baker could sleep. So he's up late doing stuff, and he hears a grinding sound as a flagstone in the it's picked up and moved over, slides over, and he turns. He sees three ghouls poke out. Oh my God, this is my house. I live here. This is terrible.
Not great.
Not good. But all of these things need a place to live, right? So you can
They
be like, oh,
do.
this monster would be cool. This would be great. Your abandoned manor house, abandoned warehouses, especially down by the docks where shipping is big, abandoned warehouses, things come, things go. I also like the idea of abandoned guild buildings.
Oh,
They're
that's
owned by
good.
the guilds, but they're not in use. Somebody owns the property, the guild owns it. They're just not paying attention to it. One neighborhood had an abandoned carpenter's guild building because the carpenter's guild basically broke down. It was just down to two dudes. They're like, well, we're just working from home. Ah, we owe back taxes on that thing. Ah, we'll deal with it later. It just sat there. Was the thing sat there? That's where the nasty budding thieves guild started into. And they find out it's not a thieves guild, it's a cult. Ah, crap.
Oh, even
That's not
better.
good. But those types of locations, they don't have to be manor houses. Manor houses are wonderful because they're another place to dangerously explore. You got ups and downs and towers and pivots, old churches. Big buildings are fun. But when you take a small little shack or that one at the end of that twisty tunnel, that twisty alleyway, as I said, and there's three doors open, and outside those three doors is a very well-used fire pit that has human bones charred in it.
Oh.
Like, okay, that's weird.
Just a moment, right? Like those little
Just,
moments.
yeah, something happens here. Does that tie to the fact that some children went missing? Does it tie to the fact that so-and-so hasn't seen their wife in a while or their husband? When things go missing and the characters find out that, huh, everybody who stays at the Crow, all their shinies are gone. Nothing really super expensive, but like, what's that
That's
about? Is
clever.
it really birds? No, it's fucking goblins or kobolds. It's some nasty fake creature. Little Boggart has moved in. And he's just scuttling around in the attic and in the basement in the small tunnels. We got to deal with that.
Which is a really fun twist on the idea of that it's the crow, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Let me see if I can't kick some of these ideas into categories, I guess. So we have abandoned places, essentially dilapidated places. They can be big, they can be small. One of my favorite thoughts is like the small, like two or three apartment tenement building, because well, man, that maybe it was partially burnt in a fire, but not all the way burnt down.
Damaged is good, honestly, because when something's been fire burned or it's been slightly, mostly collapsed, you think about the Lovecraftian design, a moldering, slightly collapsed, mostly dilapidated. It looks dangerous. Normal people and animals don't go hang out underneath Widowmakers. This is a bad thing to do.
Hey folks, Chris here. I just wanted to jump in and say we are part of the Polygamerist Podcast Network. And with that, there's some great shows in the Polygamerist Podcast Network that you might want to listen to, like The Gnomecast. Several gnomes from Gnome Stew get together to talk about gaming topics and themselves in an effort to entertain you and avoid being thrown in the stew. If you watch any urban exploration videos out there on the internet, people like going through old abandoned schools or things like that. I love that stuff because
Oh, yeah.
it is rife for stuff like this if you just kick it back a couple hundred years.
Exactly.
I think the thing that maybe we haven't touched on that we should is like where the lights aren't lit anymore.
Absolutely. So the lamplighters, as we talked about, they've got their zones, right? They've got their street lamps and so forth. Within that area, that light doesn't guarantee protection, but like, well, safety and security, you have lights on. This is just a fact, a pitch
Not
dark building, right?
only that, the magic keeps the really bad stuff away.
It totally does. It absolutely does. The farther away you get from that, the nastier the small things can start creeping in, and then the medium things and the bigger things and the oh my God things.
The oh my God things. I love the oh my
Your
God.
brain gorgers, when they start their cult, when they start moving into an area, they don't start in out front, right? They're the ones that would be in the back alley. They would be the ones past where the lamplight ends in that abandoned building.
Yeah, man, they don't want to tussle with a lamplighter, especially not in the light. That's a terrible idea for them.
Absolutely not.
They'll get thrashed.
Absolutely. Yes. When you have somebody who wants to, it's not just we cultists is very easy to do, but sometimes it's the place where the wizard wants to study privately and do things horribly.
Right. Like when you get your necromancers working outside the law,
correct.
Your people that are siphoning off life energy to conduct actually more powerful spells. Maybe even people that are wizards that are catching monsters or outer-worldly creatures so that they can experiment on them to do body modifications and things like that.
I love one of my favorite Lovecraft stories is Pickman's Model.
I love Pickman's Model.
So Pickman is a wealthy painter. He paints some weird ass shit, but he gets a house that he rents in the middle of bloody nowhere under an assumed name, takes his buddy back there, who practically gets lost through this winding worm-eaten pathway. And there's a fucking hole in the ground where there's a family of ghouls. Jesus Christ. And he's painting them. Why is he doing that? He's insane. There are other stories that Lovecraft has done and others, of course, where there is a Reanimator. I think it was the Reanimator stuff. Where he's capturing corpses with his friend. They get them as quick as they can, inject them with stuff. Oh, that didn't work. And they have to find these nasty little out of the way, unlit places where you can screw about with this.
That's the story.
Yeah. When there's an alchemist who wants to do something to bring back her husband because he died from a thing she should have been able to fix. Well, she's got him as well preserved as she can. He's squirreled away in the back. She's paid a bunch of people to keep away. Or got booby traps, whatever she's done. Mm-hmm. And she's back there night after night, quietly, tirelessly toiling away at this weird little thing. And next thing you know, you got Frankenstein.
Yeah. And it's a perfect story for Avalon too, because alchemy is a real thing. Like it works.
It does. And it doesn't. If you do.
Yeah, it works. It works poorly a lot of the time, but it works. It's
functional. Exactly. I kid you not. I had, there was a haunted outhouse. I shit you not.
I love it. I love that.
And it was this one place. It was at the back of this weird building. People were like, what? That outhouse is haunted. Somebody went in there and old whoever never came back. It was a thing. It was this nasty thing. It was a rogue Atiug that took up camp down there.
To start grabbing people.
Yeah. Some poor guy sat down and never got back up.
What a horrible, hilarious, terrible way to go. Right?
Yes. Yes. It's the slipping out of a banana peel, falling into an open sewer or something type of joke, but it's brutal.
Yeah, these places, they're great because they can be one-offs. They can be your 3-room dungeon, your 5-room dungeon, your moment of weirdness or creepiness in the city. They can also be larger exploratory places that lead into places like the sewers and then to Thorbrandor and to other problems that exist in the city. So you could start with one of these places being something small and innocuous, and then it ends up being like a big deal for your campaign.
I've been doing this obviously for a long time this thing I've made, but I used to have lists saying, hey, I have a list of these types of really cool, small, out of the way weirdnesses. One of the reasons I did it was because I wanted to maintain the atmosphere. I wanted to make sure that people knew that this was the world and this is how it operated.
I recorded that list, by the way.
Okay. If every time you introduce this stuff, it's always the seed for the adventure instead of a series of like one-off weirdnesses, you're like, yeah, that's a haunted outhouse. That's just weird. Do you want to deal with it? I don't know. Maybe everyone knows not to use it. All right. That's good enough for now. Cause I got this other problem to solve, but it becomes a thing, but you know, there's a potential problem there. There's weirdness here. I heard Magdalene's over there trying to reanimate her dead husband. I'll get to that on Thursday. Right. You know, but those things happen. And when the characters find them out and they're placed, they're seasonings and you've got them out there, when you get a hold of it, that's an Avalon feel.
Oh man, it's such a good setup, right? Like not even for anything, just like it's such a good way to fill out the feel, the tone of the setting. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, and the other piece I've found, and as a game master, sometimes you'll start and you'll have this idea like, well, you know, I know it's going to have to do with stealing an item or a heist or this type of exploration. Along the way, sometimes you're like, well, what's going to come next? What else is interesting to these guys? What do they like? Because you don't always know until you start playing. And when you drop these pieces out there and they encounter them, if the characters, your players are like, oh, not everything's a red herring, right? So they go, oh my God, that sounds so cool. Mm-hmm. That, how do you get them over there next? These are wonderful seeds you can plant and see which ones are going to bear fruit and let you harvest them later. You can, premeditatively put some of the stuff out there. Like, I could do more with this. I could do more with that. We could try this thing. And when they encounter them in small bits, small can easily grow. If it's always a big deal, it's hard to cut it back.
It's true.
You can grow the idea. And as they're going along their heist, they found three of these things or just one. And like, that's interesting. And that heist is over and they're having their little wrap up and they say, yeah, we should go look in that haunted outhouse. Cool. You got something to work on.
Yeah, it makes your job a lot easier for prepping your next session or your next set of adventures.
Absolutely.
Anything else you want to mention about locations like this? I think that was pretty good, though.
No, I think they're, like I said, they're very important. And it's one of those pieces where if you think about them as random encounters, sometimes that's the way I've told other people and they've asked me how I do it. I said, well, if you think about a random encounter chart, you could build such a thing for yourself and say, hey, at certain ticks of the clock, I'm going to invoke one of these four things. They will encounter a small weirdness or an appropriately sized weirdness. As the clock ticks, the other thing that's beautiful about it is the break in the flow. The heist is going, the heist is going, the heist is going. Someone stole your car. Crap.
Right.
I need a new car.
Wasn't expecting that.
Wasn't expecting that. Or I encountered a thing like, how come my college professor's at the bar today? Why is my ex-wife here? It's oddness like that and those events as kind of as random encounters that are wonderful little kind of offbeats or in between beats, perhaps.
Yeah, I like the in between beats. Like to be more Avalon about it, like, oh man, found this weird symbol again for like the fourth time and like our last like seven play sessions.
Yeah, it's like Chris is trying to tell us that double cross with the diamond in the middle. Yeah, that's apparently important because I've seen it 16 times.
Maybe it means nothing, but you know, it's still fun to put it there.
Well, it's got to mean something. There's been five dead people next to him. Well, yeah, but that happens.
Yeah. I'm always connecting things together. That's why. But but I like the, like you find another weird like set of tracks in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what it is, but then you start hearing rumors like, man, somebody saw this giant thing with a tail wandering around from one sewer to the other sewer entrance. You know, it's just stuff like that.
You get a big jar of vinegar, like sitting somewhere. Like, what the hell is this big jar of vinegar doing?
Yeah, what's that all about?
And you find out that's because of Penangalan. When she comes back, she has to soak her organs in that before she can go in her body.
Oh, see, there you go. Then there's one. Now you know there's one in the neighborhood once you figure it out. Now it's a problem.
Exactly. Ah, son of a bitch.
Didn't have to be, but you went and looked into it.
Stop doing that.
well, that's good. That was a lot of fun. Let me tell you about this, the thing that I did.
Thank you for listening to Under the Lamplight, the Streets of Avalon role-playing game podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please follow or subscribe on whatever podcatcher you listen to this on. If you'd like to get the playtest book or keep up with the ongoing development of the game, check out thestreetsofavalon.com, our home for all your Streets of Avalon content. And we'll see you under the lamplight next week.